Good morning.
And tell us how you enjoyed your Toyota Highlander. Did you get a Sean Connery accent when you were driving it?
Well, not really. This was a hybrid, so it was kind of a half brogue and half, half Canadian accent. We had to go on a faith and Begora, eh?
Well, it's a pretty big vehicle to have as a hybrid, which is, I guess, kind of the appeal, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that got pretty good mileage during the week, I guess, for an SUV. I mean, it's a three-row vehicle,
yeah.
Although the people in the back row had better be very, very short, you know, like about the size of a backpack.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, it's going to be like going in steerage on the Titanic, you know. But,
right.
Except that the Highlander will probably get you to your destination and back. I mean, it's nice. It's comfortable. It moves reasonably well. It's very bland. I mean, I would describe it as
really?
Being vanilla, I suppose, and I really like butterscotch.
Yeah.
But really, nothing wrong with it. I tried to get with the program and with the spirit of the test, so I put it in econo mode for virtually the whole week that I had it. Because you can have, there's econo mode and there's the you know, the regular power mode, which is for people who just want to thumb their nose at Gaia. And so I put it into economy mode, drove it for most part of a week, and I ended up getting about an average of 10.3 liters per 100 kilometers, which for a vehicle this size isn't bad.
Right. Hmm.
On the other hand, you know, it costs you more to get into it. The Highlander starts at about $43,000.
Wow.
Right.
But, yeah, it has some of my usual complaints about Toyota. You know, besides being a little boring, I mean, it's beautifully made. It'll probably last forever. But, you know, it has a very weak stereo system. You know, the knobs for the stereo have no tactile feel at all. The only way you can tell you're really turning it up is, well, I was going to say because your ears start bleeding. But with this stereo, that's not going to happen.
Right.
But, yeah. It's a decent vehicle. I mean, I can see why people like it. I probably wouldn't get the hybrid myself. I would just get the V6. I would get the all-wheel drive. It's nice to have, especially when it's snowing.
Right.
But yeah, it's a good vehicle. I can understand why people get them.
Awesome.
This must be one of the biggest hybrids out there.
Not really. I mean, it's kind of comparable to the Lexus RX. And actually, I even, about a year and a half ago, I guess, I drove a great big Chevy SUV. I forget what it was, but it was immense. It was, you know, it was about the size of my house.
Right.
So it was quite a bit bigger than this. So this, the Honda is actually based on a Camry, so it has, you know, it has all the Camry's advantages.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, you also got a chance to drive the 4Runner, and what was that like?
New 4Runner for this year. Yeah, it's kind of a variation on the Highlander theme. The 4Runner is actually one of the first real SUVs. It's based on the pickup truck, which I guess now would be called the Tacoma. It used to be called the Hilux.
Right.
This year, they have gotten rid of the V8 choice. You only get one choice of engine. It's a 4-liter V6. Puts out 270 horses, 278 pound-feet of torque, and it's adequate. It's probably fine. Now, this one is designed, so if you want to go out in the boonies, it's perfectly happy to go. It's the four-wheel drive. It has the high range, the low range. You know, he'll hold just about anything you could want for going out in the wilderness. This has, unlike the Highlander, which is, you know, designed basically for people who want something high, roomy, but they're not going to take it up the side of a mountain.
Right. So, I mean, this is all the latest high-tech gadgetry, so the thing doesn't roll over while you're going on the side of a hill and that sort of thing?
It doesn't roll over, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually quite a nice vehicle. Now they've uglified it, managed for this year, which is unfortunate because I always thought it was kind of a nice looking vehicle. And they've made it very angular, a lot of chiseled edges to it. But again, beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
As far as the interior goes, what's it like?
The interior is not bad, although I have a real problem with its audio system display. I mean, not just the audio system, which again is quite anemic and a very weak amplifier on it, but the display is almost illegible even without my polarized sunglasses. If I put my polarized sunglasses on, you can't see a thing on it. It's just, it's really kind of absurd. I mean, it would be a good display if not for the fact that you can't read it. So I guess it's kind of a useless display. It's a display that doesn't display.
Toyotas have always had a knack, at least for me, to they just sort of purr as they go down the highway. Do these ones do that as well?
Yes, I mean, very smooth, very refined. I mean, it's not like you don't think that it's running.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they're very, very civilized vehicles.
So really, really great vehicles, but really kind of bland.
For the most part, yeah. I mean, if you want to get something from a Toyota that's really kind of, you know, not bland, you have to look at something like the Lexus ISF, which is a heck of a performer, but it's also about $70,000.
Right.
A lot of fun, though.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Yeah, I mean, Toyota's reputation, and which they've earned well, is for building vehicles that work, that are no fuss, and that last for a long time. I mean, I had a Supra for 20 years, and I love that car.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going through a little bit of a rough patch right now, but they'll get over that.
Very good. Jim Bray, our Live 88.5 Car Crasher on this morning. It's Catfish here and David Schellenberg. And we can also talk about the Canadian Auto Show that's going on in Toronto at the Center of the Universe. And they announced some awards.
Yes, it's the Automobile Journalists Association of Canada, AJAC. They're the ones that had the Canadian Car of the Year Test Fest last October. We spoke there live from it last year as we were putting the cars through their paces.
Right.
Back then, we came up with category winners, and at the beginning of the Center of the Universe Auto Show, they've announced the overall winners, the Canadian Car of the Year, as well as the Canadian SUV, or crossover of the year.
Right.
And the winners, not to many people's surprise, I guess, for the car of the year is the Volkswagen Golf GTI.
Oh.
I mean, this is the sixth generation of GTI, and it seems to win every time it comes out.
Wow.
And I can understand that. I wouldn't have picked it, not because I don't have anything against the GTI. It just seemed to me that it is more evolutionary. It is yet another great GTI.
Right.
I would have picked the Porsche Panamera just because it is so new, so fresh, so outrageous.
Right.
But I have a funny feeling that the $175,000 price may have worked against it.
Right. Now, there was a GTI. Was there another winner as well?
Yes, the Subaru Outback was named the SUV CUV of the year, which is interesting because it won its category, which was best under $35,000. So it beat all the expensive ones.
Oh, gotcha.
It included things like the Volkswagen Touareg clean diesel, the Lexus RX 450 hybrid, Mercedes-Benz, Acura, Audis, all of the stuff.
Right.
And the Outback beat them all.
That's crazy. Well, the price tag certainly is a decent thing, too.
Good vehicle, and it does just about everything you want to do. I mean, I would say it's more of a wagon than an absolute, SUV crossover type thing, but so what?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it does look like more like a station wagon than a full-size SUV.
I was kind of surprised that actually, the Forester is more of a full-size SUV now than the Outback was, but of course the Forester wasn't all new for 2010, so.
Right.
Whereas the Outback is, is a fresher model, so that would be why it was entered in the contest.
Very good. Okay, we'll talk to you next time, Jim. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure.